They tell stories about us, but they tell the ones which make us look bad, along with the ones where we came out fairly okay.
I see.
And he did see, more or less.
Look, this is not a good country for gods. My people figured that out early on. There are creator spirits who found the earth, or made it, or shit it out. But you think about it. Who's going to worship Coyote? He made love to Porcupine Woman and got his dick shot through with more needles than a pincushion. He'd argue with rocks, and the rocks would win. So yeah, my people figured that maybe there's something at the back of it all. A creator, a great spirit, and so we say thank you to it, because it's always good to say thank you. But we never built churches. We didn't need to. The land was the church. The land was the religion. The land was older and wiser than the people who walked on it. It gave us salmon and corn and buffalo and passenger pigeons. It gave us wild rice and walleye. It gave us melon and squash and turkey. And we were the children of the land, just like the porcupine and the skunk and the blue jay.
He finished his second beer and gestured toward the river at the bottom of the waterfall.
You follow that river for a way. You'll get to the lakes where the wild rice grows. In wild rice time, you go out in your canoe with a friend, and you knock the wild rice into your canoe and cook it and store it. And it will keep you for a long time. Different places grow different foods. Go far enough south, there are orange trees, lemon trees, and those squashy green guys look like pears.
Avocados.
Avocados. That's them. They don't grow up this way. This is wild rice country, moose country. What I'm trying to say is that America is like that. It's not good growing country for gods. They don't grow well here. They're like avocados trying to grow in wild rice country.
They may not grow well, but they're going to war.
That was the only time he ever saw Whiskey Jack laugh. It was almost a bark, and it had little humor in it.
Hey, Shadow, if all your friends jumped off a cliff, would you jump off too?
Maybe.
Shadow felt good. He didn't think it was just the beer. He couldn't remember the last time he had felt so alive and so together.
It's not going to be a war.
Then what is it?
Whiskey Jack crushed the beer can between his hands, pressing it until it was flat.
Look,
he said and pointed to the waterfall. The sun was high enough that it caught the waterfall spray. A rainbow nimbus hung in the air. Shadow thought it was the most beautiful thing he had ever seen.
It's going to be a bloodbath.
Shadow saw it then. He saw it all stark in its simplicity. He shook his head, then he began to chuckle, and he shook his head some more, and the chuckle became a full-throated laugh.
You okay?
I'm fine. I just saw the hidden Indians. Not all of them, but I saw them anyhow.
Probably Ho-Chunk, then. Those guys never could hide worth a damn.
He looked up at the sun.
Time to go back,
he said. He stood up.
It's a two-man con. It's not a war at all, is it?
Whiskey Jack patted Shadow's arm.
You're not so dumb.
They walked back to Whiskey Jack's shack. He opened the door. Shadow hesitated.
I wish I could stay here with you. This seems like a good place.
There are a lot of good places. That's kind of the point. Listen, gods die when they are forgotten. People, too. But the land's still here, the good places and the bad. The land isn't going anywhere, and neither am I.
Shadow closed the door. Something was pulling at him. He was alone in the darkness once more, but the darkness became brighter and brighter until it was burning like the sun. And then the pain began. There was a woman who walked through a meadow, and spring flowers blossomed where she had passed. In this place, and at this time, she called herself Easter. She passed a place where, long ago, a farmhouse had stood. Even today, several walls were still standing, jutting out of the weeds in the meadow grass like rotten teeth. A thin rain was falling. The clouds were dark and low, and it was cold. A little way beyond the place where the farmhouse had been, there was a tree, a huge silver-gray tree, winter dead to all appearances, and leafless, and in front of the tree, on the grass, were frayed clumps of colorless fabric. The woman stopped at the fabric and bent down and picked up something brownish-white. It was a much-gnawed fragment of bone, which might once have been part of a human skull. She tossed it back down onto the grass. Then she looked at the man on the tree and she smiled wryly.
"They just aren't as interesting naked,"
she said.
"It's the unwrapping that's half the fun, like with gifts and eggs."
The hawk-headed man who walked beside her looked down at his penis and seemed, for the first time, to become aware of his own nakedness. He said,
"I can look at the sun without even blinking."
"That's very clever of you. Now let's get him down from there."
The wet ropes that held Shadow to the tree had long ago weathered and rotted, and they parted easily as the two people pulled on them. The body on the tree slipped and slid down toward the roots. They caught him as he fell, and they took him up, carrying him easily, although he was a very big man, and they put him down in the gray meadow. The body on the grass was cold, and it did not breathe. There was a patch of dried black blood on its side, as if it had been stabbed with a spear.
"What now?"
"Now we warm him. You know what you have to do."
"I know. I cannot."
"If you are not willing to help, then you should not have called me here."
"But it has been too long."
"It has been too long for all of us."
"And I am quite mad."
"I know."
She reached out a white hand to Horus, and she touched his black hair. He blinked at her intently. Then he shimmered as if in a heat haze. The hawk eye that faced her glinted orange, as if a flame had just been kindled inside it, a flame that had been long extinguished. The hawk took to the air, and it swung upward, circling and ascending in a rising gyre, circling the place in the gray clouds where the sun might conceivably be, and as the hawk rose it became first a dot, and then a speck, and then, to the naked eye, nothing at all, something that could only be imagined. The clouds began to thin and to evaporate, creating a patch of blue sky through which the sun glared. The single bright sunbeam penetrating the clouds and bathing the meadow was beautiful, but the image faded as more clouds vanished. Soon the morning sun was blazing down on the meadow like a summer sun at noon, burning the water vapor from the morning's rain into mists and burning the mist off into nothing at all. The golden sun bathed the body on the floor of the meadow with its radiance and its heat. Shades of pink and of warm brown touched the dead thing. The woman dragged the fingers of her right hand lightly across the body's chest. She imagined she could feel a shiver in his breast, something that was not a heartbeat, but still, she let her hand remain there, on his chest, just above his heart. She lowered her lips to Shadow's lips, and she breathed into his lungs, a gentle in and out, and then the breath became a kiss. Her kiss was gentle, and it tasted of spring rains and meadow flowers. The wound in his side began to flow with liquid blood once more, a scarlet blood which oozed like liquid rubies in the sunlight. And then the bleeding stopped. She kissed his cheek and his forehead.
"Come on. Time to get up. It's all happening. You don't want to miss it."
His eyes fluttered, and then they opened. Two eyes of a gray so deep it was colorless, the gray of evening, and he looked at her. She smiled, and then she removed her hand from his chest.
"You called me back."
He said it slowly, as if he had forgotten how to speak English. There was hurt in his voice and puzzlement.
"Yes."
"I was done. I was judged. It was over. You called me back. You dared."
"I'm sorry."
"Yes."
He sat up slowly. He winced and touched his side. Then he looked puzzled. There was a beating of wet blood there, but there was no wound beneath it. He reached out a hand, and she put her arm around him and helped him to his feet. He looked across the meadow as if he was trying to remember the names of the things he was looking at. The flowers and the long grass, the ruins of the farmhouse, the haze of green buds that fogged the branches of the huge silver tree.
Do you remember? Do you remember what you learned?